Betsy.
After judging has finished and the contestants have filed out of the tent, Betsy makes her way back to the house. She is relieved to be finished with day one, happy to be on her way to an evening of relaxation. As she walks, she already is unbuttoning her jacket, anticipating the feel of putting on a silk pajama set, wrapping up in her cashmere robe, sliding her feet into their soft slippers. She is ready for some quiet, away from everyone, a small early supper and a glass of brandy in her study. Perhaps she'll even watch something inane on television. As she crosses the foyer, she remembers, with dismay, the empty brandy bottle on her upstairs bar cart. She could ring the housekeeper and ask her to bring up another, but it would probably be faster to just go and get one herself. She sighs and turns off into a hallway. The wine cellar is just past Grafton's kitchen. This part of the house sits lower than the rest, with stone floors that stay cool even in summer. She used to love walking on them with her bare feet as a child. Secretly, of course. Her mother would never let her run around without her stockings on. She loved the kitchen's cozy stone hearth and the sturdy farmhouse table, which was nearly as wide as the kitchen itself. She loved to run her hands along its worn surface, waiting to feel the dings of knife marks and little dips from years of heavy use. She was allowed to make a mess here as a child, and she spent countless happy afternoons shaping bread dough and rolling out pie crusts alongside the family's cook. Later, she used the same kitchen to test out the recipes for her cookbooks. But once the show took off, it gobbled up her entire life, and she rarely found herself down here. She couldn't remember the last time she had baked for pleasure the way she used to. The kitchen had once been a place of relaxation and peace. Everything was just so different now. A man's voice coming from inside the kitchen startles her. "You think it went all right today?" Betsy pulls herself back, standing at the edge of the door. She can see Melanie standing in the kitchen. She's leaning back against the table, a mug of coffee steaming next to her. Betsy moves forward slightly and sees she is with that cameraman, the dark-haired one with the beard. Gordon or Graham? She can never remember their names. "It was fine," Melanie says coolly. "Thanks to me. This would all be a total disaster without me, you realize. The show would be so boring no one would even watch it." She leans back and pulls at her hair, undoing a pin in her bun and releasing a cascade of shiny brown hair down her back. "Today was better than all of last season," the man says. "What on earth are they talking about?" Betsy has half a mind to march into the kitchen and tell Melanie how little she has to do with the show being good. But then she stops. She wonders if that is even true, or if Melanie has more to do with Bake Week than she'd like to give her credit for. She's allowed Melanie far more responsibility these last few seasons. She's even given her the final say in choosing the bakers, a task Betsy had always prided herself on doing on her own. "I hope so," Melanie says, picking up her mug. "I wonder why I even chose some of them. I'm glad the idiotic lumberjack is leaving. He was way too fucking nice. It was so boring." Peter? What would Melanie have against Peter? That he isn't good television? Betsy sees the man's big hand clamp onto Melanie's shoulder. "You're not appreciated like you should be. You do everything around here." She leans into his embrace. Betsy hopes that Melanie isn't having some sort of relationship with him. Surely she has better judgment than that. "I have worked my ass off for that woman, but she doesn't even see it. I honestly don't know what she notices these days." And as Melanie taps her pointer finger on her temple, Betsy's mouth drops open. When Melanie speaks again, her voice is icy and determined. "This year, I am going to finally get what I deserve." Oh, these young people. What does she want? A medal for doing her job? Betsy's teeth clench and she shakes her head back and forth. "No, no, no, Miss Melanie. This is my house. My show. A bit more respect would be suitable from someone who was a nobody assistant until about 5 minutes ago." It was Betsy who had helped Melanie, not the other way around. She had given her opportunities most assistants would only dream of. It was good to know who Melanie really was, and that she wasn't to be trusted. Not that Betsy ever really trusts most people anyway. Given half a chance, Betsy knows that just about anyone is likely to disappoint her. She thinks of her mother. Josephina Grafton would never have allowed such impudence at Grafton. She knew that you had to keep a tight rein on all the house staff to keep track of what they were up to and with who. Betsy likes to remember the house as it was when both of her parents were alive, before the responsibility of caring for it fell to her. Back then, there was a whole staff of people keeping Grafton afloat. There was a gardener on site, a nanny for Betsy, 3 different maids, and a live-in cook. Her mother demanded perfection. She was a stickler for detail and never missed when the staff were sloppy or cut corners. Because of that, the house was always spotless, the gardens perfectly manicured for when they'd host the upper society of New England or people her father knew from his banking days in New York. Her parents often had guests stay at the manor. She remembers being allowed into the parlor as a child, wearing starched taffeta dresses and sitting primly next to her parents as they drank martinis and mingled with their guests. Betsy was never allowed to stay for the dinners, but she remembers coming down during cocktail hour and seeing the table laid with silver, the crystal glasses catching the light. Sometimes she would sneak out of bed and down to the landing, crouching on the stairs to listen in on the adults' conversations. Occasionally, someone would play the piano, and her father would sing some upbeat tune that would make everyone laugh loudly. You could always tell a good party when her father was singing. That was when she was very young, though. The fancy dinners mostly stopped by the time she turned 12. Times were changing, and trips to old houses like hers were already falling out of fashion. Nothing at Grafton was the same as it had been. Remembering all this makes her feel even more in desperate need of a drink. She moves away from the kitchen doorway and retreats back through the hallway to the stairs, where she climbs her way to her familiar east wing. But without brandy. She'll ring for some to be brought up to her instantly. It's what she should have done in the first place.